Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
And then they trash him, so he's a fucking pill-popping, you know, pothead or whatever when he left.
Fuck you, Daddy.
I don't know what the fuck the Department of Health is.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
When a woman is scared to do a thing. Standing at the bus stop, sucking on a lollipop. Once she gets pumping, it's hard to make the hottie stop. She likes to dance to the rap jam. She's sweet as brown sugar with the candy yams. Honey-coated complexion, using Cabernet. Let's hear it for the girls, she's from around the way.
Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live from the PTB Man Cave. And we have an interesting episode of Raw to review for you tonight. And it's not the Raw that's going on right now. It is one that takes us way back in time. And to do that, I need to bring in my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
JR, always a pleasure. Kind sir. Welcome, everyone, PTB Nation, to episode 165. Of the Place to Be podcast. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. JR and I continue our concept album, just like the Who's Tommy, of the year in wrestling, 1997. For those that are just joining us to the Place to Be podcast, welcome. We'll get more into who we are and a lot of stuff a little bit later on. But for those that are just joining us and haven't really caught up, or if you listened a while ago and you haven't been able to listen lately, JR and I we've said all along that one of our favorite years in the history of the business was 1997. There's no bloviating there. That's fact. I mean, 1997 was a gigantic year in the history of this business for many reasons, on many fronts. And throughout the last, 15 vaults or 15 podcasts, something like that, we've gone through many moments in the history of that year, and not just, of course, our vintage vaults. We've done a couple of Raws, as we are tonight, and actually some Nitros as well. We haven't touched on ECW yet. Somewhere down the line, you and I have talked about it, we will do, Barely Legal, which was their first pay-per-view on April 13th of that year. We'll get to that somewhere down the line. We will get to it. It's actually a show that I like a lot, and JR does too, but there's some other stuff that takes precedent. But we'll get to Barely Legal. We got a busy show tonight, JR. We actually have a huge second half of the program because finally...
Big night.
Finally, we've gotten to the end. Jay Hinchey versus Dave Hall. The winner will finally be crowned the first annual PTB Nation Trivia Tournament Champion.
Exciting stuff.
It is very exciting. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, why don't we get into the meat and potatoes, the main course of this evening's festivities. This isn't the regular vault, so I don't think he's here. It's much smaller, so I don't know
he's
how
not
fit.
Here.
But
he's
good.
Not
here. All right. Good.
He's retired for the night.
He's retired.
Retired for the week, actually.
Yes, he is actually good.
All
and,
right, so
first half of next week. So, I will lead us in, JR. What is the scrumptious morsel of 1997 we will have this evening?
We are traveling to September 22nd, a Monday night. If I remember, it was kind of cool out. Of course, we head to Madison Square Garden, the one and only, in the middle of New York.
That's right.
For Monday Night Raw, the first ever episode of Raw.
At the home office.
Yes, from Madison Square Garden. So very exciting. Yep. Now, Graham has an interesting note here, and this is something we'll get to a little bit later in the year of 1997. But Graham mentions here that it was prior to this show that Vince McMahon told Bret Hart he would not be able to afford Hart's new contract. So we'll get more into that over the next couple shows, but a little interesting tidbit from Graham.
That is a big moment in obviously history of the company and what ended up being wrestling history. For those that may not know, when he came back, Bret, about a year earlier, in the late summer of 1996, he was frustrated, burnt out. I don't think he was pissed off at the company per se He was just fried. I mean, for those that have watched wrestling a long time, he pretty much worked nonstop for what, 11 straight years?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we chronicled this in our, you know, if you want to go back for more detail, just listen to our vaults.
Yeah. So he offered him, Vince offered him a very lucrative long-term,
mm-hmm.
Vince spread the payments out, long-term deal, which included, a piece of the company or something and future, you know, management gigs and things like that. And pretty much Brett would be a Titan lifer, which is what he wanted. He wanted to be a Titan lifer.
Right.
This was his baby. But as 1997 dawned, obviously, the gate receipts, the ticket to the pay window, were not stellar, to say the least. And just Vince was like, look, I can't do it. So I don't even know if he gave Brett the option to restructure it cheaper or if he said, if you want to go to somewhere else, we know what that somewhere else is, for more money, just go. I'm curious about that. Maybe our man K Squared could get into that with us, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. We could talk about it probably more.
Yeah. I don't even know if he was given the other option. Any event,
yes.
as Graham mentions on his wonderful site, thehistoryofwwe.com, Vince had to tell Brett, I can't afford you. So, and we'll go from there. All right.
So, first ever Raw at MSG. A lot of hype, I felt. A big time feel. I hyped this one for a couple weeks. I like they had the cool little history package to open up. And something that was rare at that point. You know, they didn't do that a lot. So that was kind of neat. And I thought the crowd was really fired up right out of the gate.
Yeah. The open has things about, obviously, Hogan, which was kind of a shock. But they meant, you know, they show guys like Andre, Gorilla, and Superstar Billy Graham. Obviously, they show clips from WrestleMania 1. They show Little Richard singing from WrestleMania 10, SummerSlam 91, Shawn off the ladder. You know, the usual.
Yeah, usual classics.
So, yeah, it was a tremendous piece that got you pumped up. And then, of course, they end with, one of the last pieces, the last time we had a big show at the Garden, which was that previous November's Survivor Series, mm-hmm. which, of course, was an incredibly awesome show. And I got pumped up. I remember watching this Raw live. There weren't a lot of Raws I watched live in 96. But
actually, you could even argue that they had another bigger Raw show on MSG earlier in the year because they had that televised MSG house show that they hadn't done in a while. Remember, wasn't that in March?
Yes. Yeah. It was about. That's right. It was about 2 weeks before 13.
Yes.
Because I remember. I think Vader Taker was the main event, or was very high on the card. And that's true. They did. I forgot about that. That was like the last real pumped up house show.
And of course it was January 25th at MSG when Savio Vega turned heel and joined the Nation. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Here's a card from March 16th.
Okay.
It saw the Sultan defeated Flash Funk, the Blackjacks defeated the Godwins, Crush defeated Aldo Montoya, Ahmed defeated Savio, Bulldog and Owen defeated Furnace and LaFon, Honoris Helmsley defeated Rocky Maivia by DQ, Farouk pinned Goldust, Vader defeated the Undertaker in a casket match. And yes, that was the main event. And then Sid and Brett in a cage match for the dark match.
Hey, there's a guy holding a sign that says, I've come all the way from Australia, as they're doing a pan of the crowd. I'm kind of have it on here in the background, kind of going through it. And there's a guy has a sign that says, I came all the way from Australia to watch Stone Cold whoop ass. So it doesn't look like either Dave Hall or Michael McDonald. So although both of them were, well, Dave Hall is kind
Corey
of
Ferreira, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Dave Hall is close to my age in the 70s. Michael McDonald's much younger, so that can't possibly be him. But anyway, it was just funny that somebody had a sign that said, I came all the way from Australia. That's how pumped up things were at that time. So,
all right, so we have our opening match, Rocky Maivia versus Ahmed Johnson, and this is an IC tourney match, Scott.
Yes.
And, of course, the IC title had been put up for grabs by Steve Austin, having to forfeit it at Ground Zero. Right? Oh, no, those are tag titles. I think along those same time they actually...
Down that stretch, yeah.
Took both out. So I wanted to actually see if I could pull up the tournament bracket. So if you give me a moment here. What did you think early on here? Of course, all the Nation comes down. Sergeant Slaughter comes out right behind them and makes the Nation leave, basically asserting his power to put over the gimmick. Did you think that was a good move for them to try and get
tremendous.
Slaughter over?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you something. Rock brought some real juice. We talked about this briefly. Rock brought some real juice to the... To the Nation, who really was kind of treading water. Obviously, they made it a very neat group down to four with no stragglers. It was Farouk, Kama, D'Lo Brown, and Rocky Maivia, who I believe was officially calling himself The Rock. So now we can actually.
I don't know if it was just yet, but we'll let it go because it was close.
It was close, but either way, Rocky Maivia. And he had the black tights with the white diamonds, and he was definitely settling in. As I mentioned on our previous cast, JR, he was kind of was exuding that University of Miami alumni attitude, which fit perfectly. I'll tell you, Kama was jacked, huh? He was in pretty good shape at that.
Yeah, he was pretty juiced up. So here's the opening round matchups. Let's see.
Just came on the screen too, but go ahead if you have it.
Hang on one sec. I screwed up and searched for the tag title tournament, so hold on.
I have it in front of me. I have it on the screen.
You have the brackets?
Yeah, they just came up on the screen. Dude Love took on Brian Pillman.
Yes.
Goldust versus Owen Hart. Farouk took on, I think that's supposed to be Ken Shamrock, right? But he was out because of the...
Well, Shamrock actually won the match. This was similar to the King of the Ring earlier.
Oh, okay.
You know, with Ahmed and Helmsley, where Ahmed won, but he was hurt, and Helmsley, or whatever nonsense, Helmsley got back in. This is a little bit different. Shamrock got injured, as we talked about, with the internal bleeding. We talked about that at One Night Only. So he was out, and Farouk ended up advancing, even though he had been eliminated.
Right. And then this match, Ahmed and Rocky, was the final first-round match. Now, right. Pillman advanced, and Owen advanced. So
yes.
Pillman and Owen, we'll get to them later.
Yes.
So the winner of this match would take on Farouk in the semifinals of the IC title tournament.
Yep. So great heat, I thought, for Rocky, like you said. Shamrock out due to injury, so Farouk gets back in the tourney and faces the winner of this match. I thought for sure going in here, Ahmed was winning, would make sense to me.
Oh, yeah, would have made a lot of sense, absolutely.
Right. So I thought Ahmed looked hesitant at first. He starts fast using his power, but he's looked shaky ever since these injuries have kind of rattled him. Rocky had the great over-the-top selling going on that he's really starting to develop as a heel, getting a lot of the facial expressions and bumping around. I thought it was interesting. I wonder if you agree. The heat for Rocky was stronger than the pops for Ahmed, I thought.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is kind of surprising.
If anything,
Ahmed's been around longer as a face than Rocky as a heel, you know?
Yeah. If anything, I thought that maybe there'd be some, although that kind of thinking by fans quite hasn't stepped to the fore yet, but I would have expected maybe even some, not face pops, but some like happy pops for Rocky, because they probably thought this was a better character. But Ahmed, I think, my personal opinion, Ahmed is dead in the water. I just think nothing left for Moadib. I think the tank is on E, but he'll stick around for quite a number of months. But I don't even fathom if there's anything left for him right now. But they're still trying to push him and get something out of him. Well, you're the one that signed him, so I leave that in your hands. But Ahmed does obviously win the match with the PRP.
Well, I had a few more things I wanted to mention about it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Captain Lou comes out of nowhere to take notes. That gimmick kind of went nowhere, I thought. It seemed like every couple of years they brought him back to take notes, like they were going to bring him back as a manager or something, and then he just does nothing.
Glomming onto singles guys now after he gloms on the tag teams?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do it during the tag tournament. Kind of weird. Or I keep thinking it's a tag tournament. I keep getting confused with the one from earlier in the year, but I'm surprised they didn't have him come out during a tag match instead of this. Ahmed, I thought, was really a shell of himself here. He was slow, plodding. He looked unsure. And then he gets tossed to the floor and somehow slices his hand open. I don't know what he hit. If it was the announce table or what?
No, he hit the steps.
Okay, it was the steps. So, I mean, this guy...
I just saw Rocky threw him into the steps.
Yeah, a guy can just not stay healthy. Slices his hand open. The match slowed way down. Not a lot of chemistry. Rocky's still kind of working on a heel offense. And, despite him having a natural heel charisma, which I thought he exuded here, the in-ring offense part of it was still coming around. Ahmed makes a quick comeback, hits the finish to advance, and I thought it's a good decision because of the history between Ahmed and Farouk, but the match is really nothing, and it's just amazing that he's already hurt again.
Well, the reason it's very clear the way, as I just saw it, the reason he sliced his hand up, JR, is because he's too afraid to hit his back or his sides on anything, or what does he want, his kidney to explode or whatever. So now he uses his arms and hands to cushion blows, and he looked like he cracked his hand between the seam of the two pieces of the steps and cut his hand open.
Unreal.
because he's a dumbass, because
he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, because he can't, he's as you said, he's very gun shy now about letting his back hit stuff, his side hit stuff, because he's probably nervous about his kidneys again, which it's been a year, Moadib, get over it, nothing's gonna happen. And instead he tried to cushion it with the back of his hand on the seam of the steps, and he ended up slicing his hand open like a dumbass. So
well, there you go. So Ahmed leaves, injured hand and all, but he advances to the next round.
Yep.
Steve Austin's music plays. He appears up in the crowd and guarantees someone will get their ass whipped tonight. Vince looks a little bit concerned, which I thought was cool. He kind of stood up and was looking around like a little worried. And then we get reminded that Owen Hart has a protective order against Austin, where he'll get arrested if he lays his hands or even comes near Owen. So that storyline is still going on from SummerSlam. Floyd Patterson is in the crowd, one of your favorite boxers of all time.
He is, yeah. He is one of the greatest boxers of all time. He's deep. I remember seeing him in his rookie match, but no. Yeah, no, it was nice to see him in the crowd.
All right, so then we got some one-night-only stills and a little bit of recap. Undertaker comes out to a huge pop. Still a pretty awesome entrance, I thought, at this point. Still, you know, even without the title, still super over. Vince goes in the ring and interviews him. They really put over the Hell in the Cell match, which we'll get to next week when we review Bad Blood. But yep. they really put over the concept here and really put over the stakes between him and Shawn Michaels, the rematch from Ground Zero. Taker actually calls out Brett and says his days are numbered, promises Shawn that his Judgment Day is coming. Shawn intervenes on the top of the ramp, talks about getting trapped in the cell, and the winner gets a title match. And he jokes saying how he's always getting screwed and they should just give Taker the title shot. Why bother even having the match since they feel like they need to stack the deck so much? Shawn brags about his Grand Slam title win, and as angry as he is about being forced to earn a title shot, he says he doesn't lay down for anybody, and he will win at Bad Blood. I thought this was a great promo, really put over the Cell, and really put over Sean's new, well, some will say not even a character, it was real life feelings.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And Undertaker I thought was good here as well. Really starting to show off his promo skills finally.
Yeah, well, I think at this point, well, first off, before we get to anything else, did you enjoy the commercial for the laser tag? Were you guys going to buy
of course, always,
set?
Yes. Yep.
You're going to buy the laser tag set.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing, JR. I think more than anybody, in terms of characters that have been... Now, Stone Cold doesn't count because he kind of enveloped himself in quickly because he started right around the time that things were starting to change. But in terms of guys that are trying to get themselves acclimated to this new product, this new style, this new approach from earlier on in their careers, like Brett, like Shawn, like Taker. Taker, I think, was the one who adapted the best. Shawn, obviously, we can obviously tell he was a dickhead off camera anyway, so he didn't really have to change anything. He just became himself on camera. But Taker, I feel like, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, JR, I feel like Taker decided, you know what, I can still be the Dead Man without a lot of the cartoony early mid-90s histrionics. I could start to show a little humanity. And of course, the storyline with Paul Bearer and his mysterious brother Kane, this whole storyline keeps his aura, yet at the same time, we see a little humanity out of Taker. And it doesn't hurt the character. You know what I mean? I feel like he really kind of let his guard down a little bit and showed off his toughness as just a badass, no pun intended, while still maintaining the Dead Man aura. Can't believe you found that funny.
No, I agree. That was a good point. It's true. It's true. I think you're exactly right. He didn't need to have that zombie Dead Man aura, like you said. I think he was able to just go out there and talk like a tough son of a bitch that was gonna put a hurt on someone at the pay per view. This is really developing to a great blood feud. Mm-hmm. Would you say? Well, no, I guess we can't because of Mankind. I was gonna say, would you say this is his first legit blood feud, like not involving some kind of monster? But I guess if you consider Mankind kind of a gimmicked monster, which I think you could argue.
Yeah, but I mean, the difference there is everyone knows Mick Foley off the cuff anyway, so I think a lot of people. It wasn't like Nails or Kamala where, you didn't know who any of these, I mean, Kamala was always a wrestler. You always knew, but not, that already had a cartoony feel to it and Nails and not really count Gonzalez or any of these guys, but at least Mankind, everyone knew the kind of wrestler Mick Foley was and knew that he would put on a good feud with him. But obviously that, to that extent, the feud itself was kind of wrapped in, weird, mysterious,
right.
Good guy monster versus bad guy monster. But in terms of Taker just being pissed off at somebody,
yes,
this definitely is the first time we've seen it, really, in probably his whole career.
Yep.
And also the first guy, not counting Brett, because him and Brett really didn't have a feud. They were they just had matches for the title. But this is the first guy that, number one, really pushed Taker to the limit in the ring. Brett did too. But this is the first small guy that Taker's really feuded with, and not just a small guy, but a real good, tremendous worker. So everything fit here for Taker.
Yep.
To really ascend to the next level. I don't think anybody enveloped 1997 better for their career than him. I think he benefited almost as much as Stone Cold, but again, Stone Cold already was part of that. He was one of the authors of it. But I don't think anybody adapted better to the changing of the feel of the product than he did. So yeah, I agree with you. I think this is the first real bloody, you know, blood feud of I'm just going to kick your freaking ass feud that Taker's had probably his whole career. So I agree with that.
Okay, we're in agreement.
So yes. Yes. In so many words.
So, good promo. Sonny comes out to be our next guest ring announcer, looking fantastic as always. And JR, I thought, landed some funny Brian Christopher jokes in, as always, on The King. So, always kind of prodding away with that one.
Yes.
Legion of Doom versus The Nation. I thought a funny little clip of the LOD doing the weather forecast. Did that get you going?
Yeah, I think they're better than any other weatherman in the history of TV weather. So, I think they should do it all the time.
Very good.
Yes.
All right. So,
and this match was 2.5 of the greatest minutes Madison Square Garden's ever seen. I mean, no, I'm kidding.
Farouk and Kama took the match here, and of course now we get clips of Shamrock getting injured by Farouk the week before. Farouk takes his spot in the tournament, and Kama I thought looked pretty sharp here early. He looked pretty good. Basic stiff power tag match. Kama gets knocked to the floor. Farouk goes up for the Doomsday Device, but D'Lo Brown causes the DQ. And Rocky comes out for a beatdown. Good heel assault here. Shamrock, they say he's not there to make the save because he's home convalescing. Ahmed comes up to help. His hand is wrapped in a bandage off the slicing of the hand from earlier. And a short fine tag match helped push forward the Nation Gang storyline, added some heat to the pay-per-view match, which was supposed to be your boys, Legion of Doom, teaming with Shamrock versus the Nation. So,
yes. On a side note... Mm-hmm. For a guy who's supposed to be, you know, the world's most dangerous man, were his internal organs made of, like, paper mache? The master of the internal injuries. That is tough. World's most dangerous man, but every time he lands funny, something pops. It's really funny that all these internal injury storylines that would develop with him. But, yeah, no, good brawl. Of course, you know, Ahmed standing there with his hand all wrapped up. But, no, I thought it served its purpose. Obviously, and also reinvigorating a feud from earlier in the year. When Ahmed and the LOD fought the Nation at WrestleMania 13. So it kind of reinvigorated something from a few months earlier in the year. But yeah, good brawl.
Love will come down so naturally. We will walk down the aisle of destiny. Put your man, get his hustle on, got your type scared. Break you off a little chump change to do your hair. That seems to be enough to satisfy your needs. But there's a deeper level if you follow our lead. Hey, love.
I'm glad you found the part of the story. Says, "What does it break you off a load?"
Yes.
What is that? Walk down the aisle of destiny. Well, very interesting. All right. Anyway, there you go. So it was a good brawl. A well done brawl between everybody, and got the Garden crowd pumped up. Crowd was, of course. I mean, this is the home office, so the crowd was obviously 100% the whole night. No dead spots. They were ready for this Raw. So.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing over that fucking line.
Break you off a load of the LOD.
Escaping all the madness out here in the world. Becoming my wife, no longer my girl. Then you let your dress fall down to the floor. I kissed you softly and you yearned for more. We experienced pleasure unparalleled. Into an ocean of love we both fell. Swimming in the timeless currents of pure bliss. Fantasies interchanging with each kiss. Undying passion unites our souls. Together we swim until the point of no control. But it's a fantasy that won't come true. We never even spoke and your man sway love you. So I'ma keep all these feelings aside.
That's right.
Keep my dreams alive until the right time.
Okay.
Swimming to the endless current of bliss.
Oh, well, Cool J, you see, stance are creepy for sure.
Tremendous. during the commercial, we have a promo.
Yes.
For the one for a tape. Yeah. No, not that. season one of what was it called? The Hawk House or whatever. I forgot what you called. You had a good name for it.
Oh, the Sister Wives.
The Sister Wives. Yeah. Anyway, there is a commercial for. Yes. For the One Night Only tape, which, of course, JR and I reviewed last week.
$26, Scott.
Yeah, $6 shipping?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, guys. I know you're broke and all, but really? $6?
Yeah, $20 for the tape, $6 of shipping. And it's clipped up, too. It's not even the full show.
I know.
Pass. And
I forgot they went through that stretch in the 90s where they were getting stuff from Mount Morris, Illinois.
That's right, yeah. It was an odd place. That must have just been where the warehouse is.
I guess they didn't have a warehouse in Stamford at the time. It's funny. But anyway, yeah, commercial for one night only. You know, like there was eight matches on the card. I think there was like, what, five or something?
Yeah, five or six or something.
And of course, one of the good ones, the obviously Bret Hart's Undertaker match.
The best
match.
One.
Yeah, is not on it. Obviously, Taker, Sean, and Bulldog are on it, but kind of has to be, I would think. So, yeah, kind of a bummer that wasn't on there. But
all right, so from there, we get also a clip of Snuka Morocco from back in 1983.
Yes, the match that made me a wrestling fan. So, tremendous.
All right, next up, we get our IC Tourney Round 2 matchup between Owen Hart and Brian Pillman, and this is one of my favorite segments of all time on Raw. The winner of this match was to advance to the finals. Owen has his new theme music. I don't know if you noticed that. And he's flanked.
I did notice. Yes.
Okay. Do, 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 do. Yes.
Out it comes Brian Pillman. I got to admit, Terry, definitely looked better than when Goldust dressed you. That's for sure.
Yes. And this is day 16 of her being absconded by Pillman. Pillman comes out. He has an arm in a sling. And we're told during the entrance that Goldust and Marlena will renew their vows at the pay-per-view. As the 30 days will be up. Pillman arm in the sling. He taunts Dustin with some great, great mic work. I thought this was fantastic. Basically, you know, bragging about what him and Marlena have been up to. He says, as he was bending her over in the shower, he slipped and broke his arm. He was banging Goldust's wife, slipped and broke his arm, and he's now forced to forfeit this bout. Pillman was gold.
Oh,
he was
God.
Fantastic.
I mean, come on. Could anyone else have put over that excuse? Seriously.
No, fantastic. This sounded normal and believable from him, so... Owen reluctantly accepts the forfeit, which was great. Slaughter hits the ring. He demands to see Pillman's. Where are your x-rays? Where's your doctor's report? So Pillman says they're both in the car, and then the documents are at the hotel, and he's trying to spit it out, and he can't. I'm not doing any of this justice, by the way. So no. Slaughter throws the mic, and Pillman uses his bum arm to catch it. So the jig is up, and Slaughter says the match must go down, or both men would be banned from WWE or WWF. Owen argues with Sarge as only he can. I thought it was just great. He's so indignant about the whole thing.
Yes.
So then they say, okay, that jig was up, but we got another jig in the works. And that is they're going to put on basically an exhibition match. So they do like a fake amateur exhibition match. The mannerisms it holds cannot be conveyed in words. To me, this is like the greatest match ever. 5 stars across the board. They do hammer locks and they do a snapmare and like a fake chin lock and they get up and reset. And it was just unbelievable stuff. Marlena would use the purse to hit Owen during the break, and that led to Owen getting pissed off, and an actual match finally flares up a little bit. Lots of fun. Both men were cheating and going at it. They hit a great double cross body where they both leapt into the air, and I thought Pillman really turned it up in this match. He was finally looking a little bit mobile, I thought. He was moving around pretty well for the first time since he started wrestling again.
I agree. It's the mannerisms. these two guys. By the way, have we talked about the awesome? Did we bring it up in '97? The awesome thing with him, with the two of them and Gorilla. Did we ever bring that up? I'm trying to remember now.
No, we did not. Yeah.
Oh, that's even more awesome. We'll have to bring that up another night.
Well, we can do it right now. So, let's do it right now. So it was earlier in the year. They were trying to get Pillman out to help manage Owen in a triple threat, and because the guys he was fighting also had managers, and they're backstage yelling it, and Owens is yelling it at Gorilla, and Gorilla keeps saying it's okay, it's fine, and he just keeps yelling at him. And then at the end, Owen finally realizes that Gorilla's saying it's okay, and he's like, "All right, see, I told you we'd get him." At the end, the whole time Gorilla was okay with it, and Owen was trying to convince him otherwise. So another great Owen and
that was awesome.
Pillman
yes.
moment.
And this just backs it even up. I mean, you could tell the two of them are just laughing their friggin' asses off during this, like just having fun. And I think really, considering what had been going on in Pillman's life to this point, backstage, you know, is obviously his issues health-wise and just everything going on, there weren't a lot of fun times, it's admittedly. And, as you can tell, obviously, he, Stone Cold, put that beer away. I was trying to hide that. Damn it. You know, Pillman had a lot going on in his life, but, you know, there weren't many moments of having legit fun. He had fun in Calgary at the Stampede, and this is another moment. The two of them are just acting like complete dipshits, and it was just awesome. Because really, there's not that many guys that can put off something like that without mocking it. Like other guys could do that, and you're making fun of the product or you're mocking the product, but not happening here. It really can only happen with these two guys. So
right, and you could
really
tell they were having a hell of a time doing it too. You could tell they were having a lot of fun. So to me, definitely one of the early great memories, or you know, great memories of these early Raw years. To me, one of my favorite moments.
Yes.
All right, so Goldust runs in, Dex Owen draws a DQ. Pillman and Marlena escape as Goldust is freaking out. Owen celebrates and he grabs the mic and dedicates the win to Brett, which is great. Gives a great victory speech. Austin jumps in out of the crowd, attacks Austin, and the cops attacks Owen. The cops pounce immediately and arrest Austin. Vince drops his headset, all hesitant, and hops in the ring to help Austin. He begs the cops not to arrest him. Lawler's freaking out, wants to see Austin get arrested. Vince tells Austin to cool it, and he says, "Why can't you play nice? He had to forfeit his titles, and we all understand why you're so upset, but you can't go around breaking the law." Vince says Austin's not able to compete, and he isn't able to, and his doctors won't allow it. He could wind up paralyzed, and WWF won't allow Austin to do it to himself. The fans don't want to see that, and they want to see him compete when he's finally healthy. He tells Austin to get a hold of himself, to think it over, and he wants Austin just to work within the system and come back healthy when he's ready. Austin says all he does, that's all he does, and he cares about it. He cares about wrestling so much, and he's the best in the world. He actually sounded a bit contrite here, I thought, for a split second. He says he's the one stuck sitting at home all this time, and he'll work within the system because he appreciates that WWF cares. So, you know, you think, okay, he's going to give in a little bit. And he also appreciates the fact that Vince can kiss my ass and go play basketball with the fucking midgets at the gym. And we get the stutter heard around the world.
That's right.
He drops Vince McMahon after weeks of build. He had dropped Jim Ross. He had dropped Sergeant Slaughter. The next night on Raw, the week after that, he had hit Jerry Lawler with a stunner and now caps it off his run with Vince McMahon. Vince's selling was awesome. Of course, he lays there unconscious, staring blankly.
Yeah, Austin is jittering and just, you know, staggering like Apollo Creed after the Drago shot. I mean, it was really funny.
Austin gets cuffed and taken away defiantly as the crowd is just losing their shit. Austin flips Vince off and Vince starts kicking at him from the mat. And this to me is finally the official. You know, he's been building and building and building. To me, this is the segment that catapults Austin into being superstar.
Yep.
And Lawler begs for Austin to be fired, and Ross says it just may happen. So, all right, Scott. There's a segment. Give me your thoughts.
Well, it's industry changing is what it is. No other arena would have done this justice. This one, complete credit. Besides, obviously, credit to Stone Cold and Vince. Complete credit goes to this crowd. Because honestly, and not a knock on any of the great crowds, particularly the ones that our members of PTB Nation have gone to. And I don't know if you've talked whether Greenhouse or D'Amato or any of those guys actually went to the show, but this is a moment that changes everything. Number one, because obviously, you know, Stone Cold had been in and out these last month or so, you know, month and a half or so with the injury, so we're not sure what the deal is and everything like that. But number two, he touched Vince, and other than that time, you know, 6 years earlier when, you know, Vince took that wooden chair shot from Piper during the whole Piper Flair scrum on that awesome Superstars. Other than that, Vince was just there, you know. But and we no one's hand was tipped yet as to what Vince's real role was. That wouldn't come for a little bit. Something changed because it was Vince. And I don't think anybody really was ready to wrap their head around it yet as to why it was such a big deal.
Right.
But realistically, this was it. Like you said, the crowd was losing their shit. It was one of the biggest moments in the history of the World Wrestling Federation ever.
Yep. And to me, this completes the character. You know, we talked about it over the last couple of shows, how the injury in a way almost indirectly helped Austin. And this is something I want to talk to Kevin about Wednesday. You know, do they really feel like without this injury, I'm sure he would have taken off, but could it have been this quick and this effective? Because these 4 weeks he spent dropping all the administration with stunners is really what launched him. And the build to this was just phenomenal, to have him hit, you know, Jim Ross at Ground Zero, his friend, Sergeant Slaughter on Raw, Jerry Lawler on Raw, and now Vince McMahon in his home office, you know, the place his father made famous and his family's been part of for so long, to hit him on the first ever Raw from Madison Square Garden. It was just so well booked and so well thought out, and just a phenomenal segment.
Yes.
Do you think they should have ended the show with this?
Yeah, I think they should have. Obviously, we'll see what they do end the show with. That what they end of the show with there, you could have put somewhere else.
Well, see, I'll say this, though. For one reason, I don't think they should have. Because I think it gave them the opportunity to really talk about it throughout the rest of the night and get over how grave and replay it and show that. I feel like if you go off the air with it in the environment of WWF TV at that point, we would have had to wait another week to have a prominent show about it. You know, we didn't have the website. We didn't really have the website cranking. Superstars and Shotgun weren't really, you know, anything special. I mean, we would have. I know it would have built anticipation, but I feel like it was such a monumental thing to be able to go back and show that clip right away and have Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler talk about it and hype it over the next hour. I thought this made a lot of sense. And plus, maybe people tuned in. Maybe friends are calling, you know, that whole thing and getting people to tune in and maybe you hope it bumps the second hour. So
yeah, that's true. I never thought of that. But regardless where you put it on the show, it goes down as one of the, if not the, would you put this down? At least, and we've got a lot of them still to talk about throughout history. Would you put this down as maybe one of the five biggest moments in the history of, I would say in the history of Raw, but would you put it down as one of the, you know, four or five biggest moments in the history of the company?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
It's the first time Vince McMahon gets physically involved. You know, that Piper thing we talked about was just a, you know, errant chair shot. This is where someone first ever person really, you know, provoked and attacked him. And, you know, it had been pretty much outed Vince as owner since the Bret Hart thing the year before. So, yeah, I'd say so. I think it launched one of the greatest characters of all time, and it launched the feud that would, you know, completely revitalize the company, and it launched one of the biggest superstar, arguably, in the history of the company. So I would definitely say it's one of the most important segments of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it, and it'll be talked about whenever that the history of WWE DVD comes out next year. I'm sure it'll be talked about
easily.
Extensively. So yeah, that ended hour one.
Yeah,
and of course. Back in those days, we had the new opens and you know, the separate opens. So at the beginning of the second hour, we have the War Zone open.
Yes, and a great Slate tribute to Dick Bauer, keeping the excitement up.
Dick the Bulldog Brower, dead at the age of, I just saw 33, 66, dead at the age of 66. 64, I'm sorry, 64.
All right, so then we get a highlights from the previous segment, and I it was pretty funny. JR takes a little veil shot at WCW, says even though this attack happened, we're not going to cry and walk off the set, which is, of course, a lot of times what Tony and Bobby Heenan would do when the NWO attacked the commentator's table. So that's pretty funny.
Yes.
All right, so we kick off hour two. You think we're gonna get a little lull in the action, right, coming off that red hot segment?
Yeah, you would think so. Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. I'm sorry,
I was gonna say right before that, Ron DeShear of USA's Up All Night,
yes,
sitting interviewing Jerry, and then I stopped paying attention to her because the betrothed comes into the ring, and that is, of course, Hunter Hearst Helmsley comes in with China.
Yep.
He is slated to take on Dude Love in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yes, a rematch from One Night Only, of course.
Yes. And I tell you, this moment, JR, I don't want to say, you know, trumps or matches what we just saw, but clearly just as important, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's rare that we've had two epic back-to-back segments on a Raw throughout history that are as big as these two.
Yeah.
So, we get the infamous video promo. Mick Foley, dressed up as Mankind, shows up on the screen and as Dude Love, and they're talking to each other. They're both seated on chairs, and some great editing here where he's doing both characters, and they're talking back and forth to each other and basically saying, basically discussing, you know, who would be the better fit for this match against Hunter S. Helmsley, and they say, wait, you know what? We know who's the best guy for this. And out walks, for the first time, WWF television, Cactus Jack.
Oh.
Awesome, awesome classic moment. Hunter's selling of Cactus put it over big time. He was like freaking out that he had to face Cactus Jack, and that has put the character over immediately. Just for that one reaction, so that was great. Cactus hits the ring. Wild brawl right off the bell. They fight on the floor. Cactus dominates, as commentary really makes Jack out to be a star. I thought they did a great job there as well. China gets involved, as always, knocks Cactus into the crowd to turn the tide. Cactus comes back with a fire extinguisher. We get some ECW chants, as you'd expect. Super fun brawl here. China again tries to get involved. Vintage Cactus dive off the second rope into a trash can on the floor. Hunter dodges out of the way on that. Hunter works over Jack with a kendo stick and a chair. Cactus gets a sunset flip off the apron onto the ramp for two. Cactus empties out the Jack offense bag, really kind of turning back the clock and showing what Cactus is all about. They brawl up the ramp. China cracks Jack in the chair with a head, and it was great. Jack just completely no-sold it. Hunter hits a stiff trash can shot. He brings out a table. Cactus blocks a pedigree, hits Hunter with a pile driver through the table for the win. To me, this is a star-making match for Cactus Jack, a guy that Mankind had been, a pretty big star over the last year or so, but to me, this is what really launched Mankind / Dude Love / Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, as to being a legit, brawler, main event player, I thought.
I was unbelievable, believe it or not, even though it was against the betrothed. That's fine, because I was marking out like crazy, because I was always in both WCW and ECW. I was a gigantic Cactus Jack fan. Number one, because I think he's the best, most violent character of the three. And no knock on Mankind, the Mankind character, and certainly no knock on the Dude Love character. Very funny and fit certain roles, but I've been waiting for the moment to see Mick really show Cactus Jack, really the way he really, really brawls mm-hmm. in the ring. I don't think we had quite seen that yet. Even with the feud with Taker, we saw some good moments.
Right.
But not Mankind is not Cactus Jack, in my opinion.
No.
Mankind is demonic, but Cactus Jack is
wild.
Psychotic.
Yeah, he's as wild.
And once again, you couldn't have picked a better place to do it. It would not have worked anywhere else. I think everybody was like, "Yay, this Cactus guy!" Only in ECW's, not in the backyard, but the neighbors down the street,
right,
from ECW, do you see the guy that the ECW fans? I mean, this is exactly what Raw needed. It's what the Garden needed. It's what the fans needed. It was another history-making moment, and it is really a great match.
You think this is Hunter's best match to date?
To this point, well, I really did like their match at SummerSlam, but this one,
not just their match, his best match to date.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any, because there's no other match that legitimized his toughness. I mean, he took a real shit kicking in this match.
I mean, the SummerSlam one comes tough, and maybe one of those Mark Mero matches from '96. Outside of that, though, I can't think of one that was better than this.
No, he took a legitimate woodshed,
mm-hmm.
government mule beatdown, as the other JR would say.
Yep.
Totally legit. So,
so cool. Huge moment. Yeah, a cool glimpse to see what Cactus can do in this environment. Really kind of introducing to a new audience. I hadn't seen him, or just hadn't seen him in a while. Yeah, that was great.
Tremendous. And that match is on the Falls Count Anywhere DVD that came out earlier this year.
I'm sure, and it's on like every one of Mick Foley's DVDs.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, what's funny? It is. I'm sorry. It's on. It's on the greatest. Graham doesn't have it highlighted on a link, but it is on the Mick Foley Hits and Misses as well. He just doesn't have that linked, but it is on that one, and it's on the Falls Count Anywhere. It's definitely a match. If you've never seen it, which I highly doubt you haven't, because regardless of what level of wrestling fan you are, I'm sure almost everyone has seen this match. Tremendous, tremendous match, and really shows that when Mick Foley is pushed, he can be one psychotic, violent son of a bitch. And again, kudos to Helmsley, who put him over. And again, the mannerisms, he would do it again to the exact same character, 2.5 years later. But at this point, Helmsley sold it like he got shot.
Yeah, that was great.
And it was awesome. So when was the last time, JR, we saw back-to-back epic moments on any TV show in wrestling to this point?
Yeah, and we're about to get a third.
Back-to-backs.
And we're about to get a third really good one, too. So we get clips of WrestleMania 1, Andre versus Stud. Nice little touch on the show, I thought, really continuing it. More clips of Austin McMahon. And then we get more stills from the Michaels Bulldog match from One Night Only, where Shawn Michaels won the European title.
Yes.
Shawn Michaels, speaking of, marches to the ring with a chair, the European title, and a mic. He brags some more about winning the Grand Slam, and he tells Taker to come out and face him like a man, because Shawn's going to slap him around. They take a break, and Shawn is still ranting. He tells a fan to go ask his mom how gay he is after the fans chant Shawn is gay. Taker finally heads out. Hunter tries to attack, but Taker knocks him down. That allows Shawn to jump Taker with a chair. They double-team him on the ramp. Rude and China join the assault as well, and this was a good segment, I thought, to add some heat to the pay-per-view.
Yes, and kudos to Helmsley, who came back out with a bandage on his head and looking all sweaty and beaten up.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the job done and helped beat Taker down and really is putting the feud over big time. So yeah, excellent moment for all of them in that piece, big time.
And I thought it helped put over DX again, like we saw one and only is just the future DX rather, Sean's click here, as just a bunch of douchebag heels.
So. Yeah, they really are. They're just assholes. Yeah. They really are.
All right,
just
so we get
frat boys. Yeah, just big time.
All right, so we get more shilling of the pay per view coming off of that, and then we go to our main event: Bret Hart versus Goldust, non-title main event. Bret promo about Survivor Series and facing the winner of Hell in a Cell, and I love this. I loved how they were already pimping Survivor Series here. They weren't overlooking Bad Blood. You know, WCW at this time, you still overlook. We talked about this when we reviewed Nitro a couple weeks ago. They'd always be pumping like a show ahead and kind of overlooking almost the one they had coming up. But this here, I thought they did a great job of pumping up Survivor Series, setting this tone, but putting over Bad Blood because that's where the contender was going to be determined. So I liked how they were already kind of pushing Survivor Series, pushing all the options for that match, but really still focusing on Bad Blood. He calls out both men. We get a lot of talk about Pillman and Marlena. Goldust is wrestling very angry here, which I thought was a nice touch. He didn't look just like his usual self. Bret makes a couple.
And only half his face was painted, too.
Yes, that's right, because he was showing how serious he was. So Bret makes a comeback. This was solid, nothing great. Bret actually feels a little bit lost, I thought. His promo, and they were keeping him involved in the title picture with Shawn and Taker, but he feels a little lost. They never even talk about his pay-per-view match, which, of course, is a tag team flag match coming up with him teaming with British Bulldog against Vader and the Patriot. I don't think they mentioned it once on the show. And Vader and Patriot weren't even on the show. And a lot of talk during this match was centered on Pillman as well. So this is pretty long for a TV match. Bret works over the leg, and the crowd starts to fade. Goldust comes back, but Bret gets the sharpshooter for the win. It was a good, hard-fought win for Bret. A solid TV match, but just a little boring, I thought. Bret refuses to break the hold. Shawn comes in and assaults Bret. Hunter, China, Rude come out. Owen and Bulldog out as well. Anvil, Jim Neidhart, shows up for the first time since before SummerSlam. He had disappeared for a while. I think he had some legal issues. Shocker. But Taker comes out now. He cleans house. And in another great, memorable moment, he grabs Bret and Shawn and plants them both with a double chokeslam. Wild finish to Raw and great stuff all around. So what are your thoughts on this match and final segment, Scott?
Well, I agree with you that as I'm kind of watching it on mute now, Bret is almost like, well, don't forget about me.
And
like,
the match was 12:50, by the way.
Yeah, 12:50. It's like everybody else has a cool segment. Well, why can't I have a cool segment? I'm cool. I'm the champ. I'm cool. I'm mean. I'm angry. Like, he just seemed like so... I felt bad for him because it really... He's like, yeah, but you're not Shawn and Taker. They're cool. And, you know, you're not Stone Cold. He's cool. And, you know, you're not Cactus. He's cool. And, you know, I like you, Bret, but you're just not cool. You know what I mean? Like, he's
right.
Just not... He does. He seems... This is the first time where... This is the first time where I bet you they're looking at it going, you know, the way this product's going, Bret really doesn't fit.
No.
You know? He just... It's like, I'm the champ. You know, he looks so mad, but it's almost like half, you know, kayfabe mad and half real mad. Like, you know, what the hell? I mean, I'm the champ, and I get, like, the boring segment of the night. Everybody else gets cool stuff. I don't get any cool stuff. You know what I mean? I agree with you 100% that he just looked out of place, like for the first time this year.
Yes.
The rest of the time, he definitely attempted to intricate himself. It was doing very well, but on this night at the Garden, and he's had some great moments at the Garden. You know, he won the title at WrestleMania 10, so it's not like the fans don't love him.
Right.
But he's just not.
It just seems, it just seems forgotten. That's it.
Yeah, he's just not there.
I mean, the world champion has a tag match on pay-per-view, which is odd as it is, and they don't even mention it once, 2 weeks before the show. So,
yeah.
And that was the second, you know, second headlining match. But, you know, there's more talk about Pillman and Goldust, who weren't even wrestling at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly.
Than there was on that match.
But,
so.
But the brawl at the end was awesome. And the double choke slam, what a capper to end the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Tremendous. Tremendous way to end the show, considering all the great moments we've already had. Taker gets the last laugh. So there you go. Great ending to the show.
Yeah, and a great show overall. Lots of fun, classic, memorable Raw moments. A lot of history wound throughout as well. I thought it was a good sell for Bad Blood. A good sell for Survivor Series too. Bad Blood really was a one match show, and we'll talk about it next week. But and that's the match they focused on here, so it made perfect sense.
Yep. What did you think of all that? What did you think of all the history moments? Because again, we had talked about it before. That it was the first time they had enveloped their history, and they really don't do it big time for at least another, you know, like 4 years. But what did you think of the enveloping of the history? Did it seem out of place or no?
No, that was great. you know, something they haven't really done before or in a long time. So I thought it was really cool that they, you know, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a nice touch, and it really made this stand out as a special Raw, which it was. So
right, no, it was. So if you haven't seen it, highly recommend finding it.
Or even if you don't want to sit through all of it, definitely check out the, of course, the Austin McMahon segment. Definitely check out the Pillman Owen match if you can find it.
Right.
And as well as the main event at the end with the Undertaker double choke.
And Cactus.
Yes, and Cactus. And yeah, it's a hot show. Just a great show.
It really is.
One of the best Raws of all time, I thought. So, all right, so that sets the stage, Scott. Now we're upon Bad Blood. We'll be reviewing that Monday. Correct? No, we're off Monday. We're off Monday
no,
for Columbus Day.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday night we're reviewing that. Okay.
Yes.
We're off Monday. Wednesday night we're here. This Wednesday we're here with Kevin Kelly. And similar like we did last time, we're going to basically just go right through the year with Kevin. We're going to go right through 1997. We've made a list of all the important stuff to talk to him about. So we're going to start in January, go right through December, and then hopefully we'll be able to do this with the years he was with the company. It'd be cool if we could get him on, you know, once every however many episodes to talk about the years he was there.
Yes, Kevin was a blast when we had him on the first time. Mm-hmm. But as he had mentioned, he was, you know, moving and taking care of some other stuff.
It almost worked out, though, because, you know, we were going to try and have him on a couple times, but I think it's kind of cool to just go right through the year, the timeline of the year, and get all his takes on everything. So
I agree.
I think it'd be a nice touch. So, as I mentioned, no show next Monday for Columbus Day. We both have stuff going on, and we'll make it a short week. So next Wednesday, we'll be back with Bad Blood and the Week 6 picks. And then the following Monday, Survivor Series 97, Kyle Forchetti joins us there. And after that, we get some really neat stuff planned. We'll save it, keep it under wraps for now, but we have some cool stuff coming up as we reach the end of 1997 on our reviews, and as we reach the end of October and into November, we have some cool stuff. So
yes,
all that to look forward to. Also, Scott, let's do a little bit of housekeeping since we haven't had time to do that.
Yep.
Of course, visit our message board, bigelow34.proboards.com. That's where you can find all our reviews. We actually have a really good cachet of reviews going on right now. We got guys doing Ring of Honor, got guys doing other independent stuff. We got guys doing vintage Coliseum videotapes, our buddy Coldstone. And you know, I don't even want to start naming guys because I know I'm going to miss them all, but we have a lot of cool reviews going on, over there. So, and our Riddler, he's the other one, doing, classic pay-per-view reviews. So, Ring of Honor's live, our buddy, I said I was going to do a Half Onion Loaf there. He's actually doing live Ring of Honor each week, the show he's recapping. So that's cool. Territory War is still going strong as well. Our buddy Derek Cornett's running that. I think there's like four or five going strong right now there. So
they do. And let me tell you something. They do a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Very creative in their writing. JR
What's this,
and
the
I.
The fourth year or three full years, I think they're through now.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I had a, you know, we had a good one going. You had, what'd you have? I think you had Mid-Atlantic. I had Memphis. But obviously, you and I just don't have the time. I mean, just so much writing and other stuff. We couldn't do it justice. But these guys are awesome.
They destroy it.
We both highly recommend reading their stuff. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and also at the message board, you can leave your feedback for all these reviews we do. There's a whole section for the podcast there. We also have the PTB soundtrack thread. You can go there, and every song we've ever opened or closed a show with is listed there. So if you're, you know, Grant Owens has promised me someday he'll put together a Spotify playlist for it, but we'll see. Also, you can do, we do pay-per-view predictions and the NFL game predictions there as well, so you can join those contests. Of course, no gambling or anything involved, just for fun. Also, you can email us at placetobepodcast@gmail.com, gmail.com.
Gmail.
Yes.
Yes.
You can also visit us at Twitter, place2bpodcast. We're always kind of tweeting different things here and there, retweeting interesting stuff as well. Facebook, you can visit us at the Place to Be Podcast. That is our fan page. We have updates on there, but that's about it. Not a lot of chatter anymore. Timeline kind of killed that, but you can visit us at the Place to Be Live Chats page. That's a secret group we have. You can email me or PM me if you want access to that. That's where we have all our conversations, all our threads throughout the week, and we do live chats or Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views and everything else. So a lot of fun there. The Raw chat's been rocking tonight, so a lot of cool stuff.
Yes.
What else we got, Scott? We have
Stitcher.
Yes, Stitcher. Go. Why don't you do Stitcher?
Stitcher. You can onto Stitcher. You can download it on your iPhone or your Android phone or your tablet, and we have the up to date episode that's posted. And I think, what is it? If you're on your tablet, you can check back on the previous 10 episodes. The phone app, it's only the most recent one. But on your tablet or your iPad or whatever, you can check the previous 10 episodes. So Stitcher. And it's a lot of other good stuff they have on there, too. Different topics, topical podcasts and stuff. It's a lot of fun. So definitely check out Stitcher, stitcher.com.
Also want to give plugs to our buddies, also running podcast, Austin Pfaff.
Mr. Pfaff.
Has started up his own podcast. Of course, he used to have one, part of Markout Nation. It was a group podcast. But he started his own. I started listening to it today. I had to go because I was taking care of the baby. But he, it was good the first few minutes I heard. Austin's got a lot of interesting things to talk about. So I'm curious to see how he does, on his own. You know, it's interesting to me. So, you and I always rely on each other. So it's cool to hear someone have to carry the show on his own. So I'm interested to see Austin's show there. So check that out. He has the show linked on our live chats page. Also, Grant Owens, the We Found New Music podcast. I listened to it today. It was really, really good. So good tracks on there. And Grant's cool. He had a good interview with an up-and-coming singer. So, Grant's the man. He's got a good voice. He's very soothing and a lot of cool music. So check that out. Yes. As well, and that's linked all over the place on all our pages from Grant. So what else we got, Scott? We got DDP Yoga, still doing that, still going strong.
Yes.
I definitely recommend it for anyone looking for a different kind of workout. Of course, our buddy Jay Wimet, still battling his lymphedema. You can check out how to help him out. You help yourself, too, with this deal. Not just helping Jay, you help yourself. If you go to the message board, bigelow34probars.com, there's a whole thread on how you can hook Jay up and how you can help yourself with a great deal and how you can help pay for his medical bills. So, all right, Scott, anything else you got? That it?
Yeah, I believe that's everything. One quickly to mention, for those locally that are around, I'll start talking to some of you maybe through Facebook. Next Saturday,
yes,
the 13th, there is the Legends of the Ring one-day convention. It takes place at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Monroe, New Jersey. I will be there. My good buddy Anthony, AA the Enforcer, will be there. Dr. G will be there. We're just going to roam around, talk to some people, see if we can get some, see if I can get JR and I some future interview guests, including, let me tell you something, JR. Among the guys that are going to be there, I've mentioned a lot of them, J.J. Dillon, Barry Windham, guys that I would kill to have on our show. But I know that we've already had Bruno on, you already talked about Big Willie Busick, but if I can somehow get Dan Spivey / Spivey
yes.
/ Waylon Mercy on the show, I know it'll make your decade, so we'll certainly do my best. But yeah, for those that live close by, I know Kyle Forchetti was talking about it. If you guys live in the general area, I think it's only $15 to get in. They have an MVP package, like $300, but you get all these autographs and all that jazz. But I think it's only $15 to get in. And check the site, legendsoftheRing.com. It's taking place a week from Saturday, the 13th, at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Monroe, New Jersey. So it should be a lot of fun. So
yep. That's cool. Yeah, get the business cards drawn up, will you? Let's get us some guests. So, Kyle's definitely going, so you guys will have to hook up, and anyone else interested. I saw someone else mention, I can't remember if it was Kyle or someone else asked it, if anyone was going. So definitely look into that. So, all right, Scott, let's take a quick break. Mm-hmm. Take a breather, and when we get back, you know what time it is.
It's time to finally end the drama and crown ourselves a first annual PTB Nation Trivia Tournament champion. Hinchy Hall. Who will win it? Stay tuned. But before that, a word from our sponsors.
Because sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't, because sometimes you feel like a... Sometimes you...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Yes, WrestleChat.net, indeed, your home for everything pro wrestling. All the news and notes you need from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. Check out their podcast, The Champ, Jeff Peck, and his announcer. And of course, while you're perusing the site, you look to the right, you see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go to our full archive, courtesy of our good friends at Podbean. That is WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Also, don't forget the history of WWE.com, our friend Grant Cawthon. Outstanding research site, ring results, DVD reviews, everything you need is there. Also, check out our show on Stitcher.com, whether you have iPhone, Android, any kind of phone or any kind of player, tablet. Go to it. You can listen to our shows anytime. And then, of course, also on iTunes. And, of course, check out our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. We're always talking wrestling, sports, anything you want. Check out JR's and my reviews. We talk Raw, SmackDown, all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to help out our friend Jay Womack. Still dealing with a lot of physical issues with his leg and a touch of skin cancer, but he's a fighter, and he's a great fan of the show. And if you want to help him, check the link on our board, bigelow34.proboards.com, and you can help him out. He's a great guy.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, this is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be Podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
Hi, PTB Nation. I am quite sad and quite excited because I'm excited because we're wrapping up this trivia tournament with a great finals, but I'm sad because it's the last time we'll hear the Pyramid theme song. So, all right, Scott, this is it. We've been
doing this for
months and months. Yes, for this. Well, we're going to be gearing up for the second one shortly here.
A little trivia for you, JR.
Yes.
Do you remember the date that our tournament started?
Oh, man. I'm going to say June 10th.
Not that early. July 9th.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
July 9th was our first round matchup.
Yes, so. We started with 24 competitors. We are down to 2, Scott. So why don't you bring them in? Let's get this ball rolling.
Okay. Competitor number 1. He is the master of the tomahawk chop. On his quest to the championship, he has defeated Jordan Duncan, the great Andy Flanagan. He defeated Grant Owens and Jason Greenhouse to get to this point. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who is crying as he stares at his Chipper Jones poster, Jay Hinchy. Jay, welcome back.
Hey, pleasant Thursday.
You all right?
Yeah, sorry. No pleasant Thursday evening to you guys.
You too.
Sorry about that.
Getting choked up already. So get his concession speech lined up.
Yeah, this was Chipper's last homestand too. So yeah,
there you go.
Not going up.
But he will get one more postseason though. So we'll
yeah, yes, he will.
Yes, we'll have to see what happens. All right. Your opponent, the Thunder from Down Under, one of the most, I don't want to say improbable because I don't want to insult the man. He's a smart guy.
We've been insulting him the whole way through, so it's fueling him, I think.
The most improbable run in this
yes.
tournament. He has defeated Sean Zern, Mr. Pfaff, as well as K-Po, Kieran Polland, and Jeremy Nichols. He is a perfect 11 for 11 in questions.
Insanity.
And he pulled a stunner out of his collective Australian you-know-what in the semifinals.
Yes.
Can he do it tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Hall. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm not too bad. Thank you for that introduction.
Oh, wow. All right, guys. Well, 24 started. 22 have fallen. One will raise the trophy tonight. The other will hang his head in shame like our J. Arsenio D'Amato has done all summer long. You know the rules. We're not going to go over them.
J. Arsenio D'Amato's hung his head in shame for like 55 years or however old he is.
All right. We're not going to go over the rules. You guys know it already at this point. The only difference is the level of questions. We'll begin with 1 medium and 2 hards. So there you go. And the rotation's the same. Each person will get an opportunity every other chance to be the second one to answer. So, all right. Let's dive right in. The winner will be the 2012 PTB Nation First Annual Trivia Tournament champion. Mr. Hall, you were the road team, although there really is no road and home. You get to go first. Remember, only 1 medium and 2 hards. Pick a number between 1 and 175.
Well, let's start with 152.
Okay. All right. Your question is, name the 2 champions that CM Punk cashed his 2 Money in the Bank's on. You have 20 seconds.
One was Bradshaw or JBL, and the other. Oh.
5 seconds.
Oh, I want to say Edge.
And the streak is broken right
He's cut! He's game. Cut!
He's cut. He is not Ivan Drago. He's not a machine. He's a man. You were half right. JR, the answer.
It was Edge and Jeff Hardy.
Yep.
Damn.
Did you think this early on you were going to get an opening? But you have an opening here.
Yes, I do.
Take advantage of it. Pick a number between 1 and 175.
All right. I'm going to shoot for 121.
Okay. To take an early lead. Who did Ted DiBiase's Santa Claus attack at In Your House number 5? You have 20 seconds.
Savio Vega.
Hey, I may have a winner!
That is correct. One of JR's favorite characters of all time. The great Santa Claus. You are correct. All right. Mr. Hinchy, you got a big opportunity here to forge ahead, but done are the mediums. It's time to get down to the real nitty-gritty. Pick a number between 1 and 200.
All righty. Let's go with 98.
Okay. Reset the clock. Okay. To take a 2-0 lead, which AWA official reversed the decision at Super Sunday 1983 that cost Hulk Hogan the AWA World Championship and gave it back to Nick Bockwinkel? You have 30 seconds. Use all of it if you'd like.
Didn't really much AWA except for the ESPN stuff.
15 seconds.
I'll take a wild guess, say David Young.
Incorrect. JR?
The answer was Stanley Blackburn.
Okay.
We also would have accepted Gene Steratore, who's the referee in the game between the Ravens and Browns tonight.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes, what happened was when the referee was not looking, Nick Bockwinkel fell over the top rope, and then Hogan pinned him, and Stanley Blackburn came in and reversed the decision and gave it to. They had that weird over the top rope DQ thing like the NWA had.
It's going to be an interesting battle now as we hit the hards.
Yes. Right. Mr. Dave Hall, you saved your bacon here. You got a chance to tie here. Pick a number between 1 and 200.
54.
Okay. All right. In the infamous Raven at Home skit in WCW, who visits Raven's family at poolside? You have 30 seconds.
Oh, gee. I'm pulling out the tough, really tough ones, though. What year was it again, did you say?
I did not say a year in the question.
Oh, okay.
You have 15 seconds.
Sandman.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Of course, you also would have accepted Jim Fullington, as he was known in the skits, but Sandman was the guy. So.
Or a hack, wow. Yeah.
Well done. Hack. Well done, Dave Hall. All right, you have tied it at 1. Now you have a chance to take the lead. Pick another number.
65.
Okay. Okay. Who was competing in the ring when Sabu got on top of the Raw R on the ECW episode of Raw in February 1997? You have 30 seconds.
I was watching that the other day, too.
Think about it. 15 seconds.
Taz.
10 seconds.
And Taz and Savio Vega.
You know, you're even dumber than Monsoon.
Oof.
Close. You were halfway, close. Halfway. Taz and Mikey Whipwreck.
Okay. All right. Mr. Hinchy, we are tied at 1. Pick another number.
All right. I'm going to go 34.
Okay. All right. To take a 2-1 lead, who was the final football player to be eliminated in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania 2. You have 30 seconds.
I think it was William Perry, the late William Perry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
It was Russ Francis.
Russ Francis.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay. Hinch, you're up again. Pick another number.
Man, tough questions tonight, guys. Good ones, though.
It's going to be a battle. It's the finals, baby.
Oh, I know it. Let's go 78 this time.
Okay. All right. Let me just get my... Okay. Long answer. Hold on. Okay. Take a 2-1 lead. Two tragic events occurred in the WWE family, meaning the company, on back-to-back days in October of 1999. Name them. You have 30 seconds.
October 1999. Huh. This was outside the ring?
I'll stop the clock. JR, can I be specific?
No.
No? Okay.
Okay. I think one was Draza's broken neck, and you won it too, right?
Yes. Something happened the next day.
Okay, Draza's broken neck on Sunday Night Heat.
Okay.
And next day. Well, I give up on the second one.
No, take a guess. Anything?
Anything?
Yeah, my mind's gone blank here. Sorry.
Okay. JR?
To do worse than Josh Richter.
Although I think Josh might get this one.
It was Draws was paralyzed by D'Lo Brown, and Gorilla Monsoon passed away.
Oh, that's right. God, I'm so... I'm killing
Dave
myself
Hall.
Now.
Dave, back in the game
this
again.
This is getting good now. I'm getting excited. This is
I am.
Best matchup we've had, really.
Yes.
Yeah, good questions.
Okay. Dave, pick a number.
22.
Okay. All right. To take the lead. Who was the woman that helped Todd Pettengill give away the new house at the In Your House number one pay-per-view? You have 30 seconds.
Oh, In Your House one. Oh, gee. Not another one. Sunny.
It was Stephanie Wyand.
Yep. That one I knew.
Okay. All right, Dave, you still got a shot here to take the 2-1 lead. Pick another number.
180.
Okay. To once again take a 2-1 lead. Who was the first Raw celebrity guest host after Donald Trump instituted the position? You have 30 seconds.
This is just...
15 seconds.
William Shatner.
Damn!
It was Seth Green. Seth Green. We're going to be here for a while.
Oh, dear.
Okay. All right. Mr. Hinchy, you're up. One to 200.
43.
Okay. To take the lead, what was the name of Rip's younger brother in No Holds Barred? You have 30 seconds.
Oh, God. I've never seen the movie.
Ah.
Oof. Yeah, I know. Mike.
How about new?
It was Randy.
Randy, okay.
Rippin' Randy.
Well, there's a new DVD out now, Jay,
yes.
So there you go.
Check it out. Yeah. Prepare for next year's tournament.
Yes.
That's right.
We may have a different question for the movie next year, so. Okay.
Yeah, you might.
Still your turn. It is still 1-1. Pick a number.
All right. 13.
Okay. To take the lead, which TNA tag team was Chris Candido managing at the time of his death in 2005? You have 30 seconds.
Oh, a TNA question. I think it was the Naturals.
Hey, I may have the winner!
You are correct.
On the board, 2-1.
On the board, okay.
Finally.
Jay Hinchy takes a 2-1 lead. Mr. Hall, you have back-to-back opportunities to tie here. All right. Pick a number.
190.
Okay. To tie the match, set the clock. What was the official title of the Raw that aired on Friday, September 6th, 1996. You have 30 seconds.
September 6th, 19... What was the year again? 96.
96, yeah.
Oh, no, the Thursday was Thursday Raw. Thursday, Friday was Raw Friday.
No, God!
It was Raw Championship Friday. Very close.
Yep.
Okay. Dave, you have another opportunity here to tie the match. Pick a number between 1 and 200.
5.
Okay. To tie the match, how many episodes of Raw Roulette have there been? You have 30 seconds.
Bischoff did 1, 2. I think there have been 4.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Close. So close, Mr. Hall. It was 5. 5 Raw Roulettes.
Okay. Good guess, though.
So Hinchy gets to go. Is he home on this one? So if he gets this, it's over, right?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Hinchy.
Yes, sir.
If you get this right, you are the 2012 PTB Nation Trivia Tournament Champion.
Alrighty.
If you get it wrong,
the prize is we put your face on the PTB gnome.
Yes. You get it wrong, you still get a question.
Okay.
And if you get that right, you'll have 3, but Dave will get a chance to answer 2. Up to 3 straight, or however
okay.
Shake out. So,
right.
To win the whole thing right now, you need to get this one right. But then
okay.
All right.
Pressure's on.
Two, let me delete some of the numbers here. 1, 2, 190.
Okay. Okay. Let's go with 10.
Okay. Type number in. Okay. For the PTB Nation Trivia Championship for 2012, here's your question. This WWE Hall of Fame tag team has the record for the longest reign by a team who held the titles only once. Name them. You have 30 seconds.
Hall of Fame tag team. They're in the Hall of Fame right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
20 seconds.
Okay, I'm thinking here. Wild Samoans.
To do worse than Josh Richter.
Damn it.
It was the Valiant Brothers.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. So. Okay.
I'll give you one guess who came up with that question. Old man Scott.
All right, Jay, you still have a chance here.
Okay.
This is your turn again. You still get a chance to get to 3 questions, this time,
yeah,
though,
you can't
Dave
put it away,
gets
though.
A chance.
Right.
Yeah, you can't put it away, though. Dave gets a chance to tie. All right. Pick a number between 1 and 189.
All right. We'll go with DX's favorite number, 69.
Okay.
It's my favorite number, too.
Mm-hmm. Gee, who let her on the set? God.
Well, fuck you, Daddy.
Okay. To set yourself up for at least overtime.
Okay.
Which heel wrestler knocked out Gorilla Monsoon in a 1989 episode of Primetime Wrestling? You have 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. A heel wrestler knocked out Gorilla Monsoon.
Seconds.
I will say Macho King Randy Savage.
Will you stop?
Correct answer was the Brooklyn Brawler.
Brooklyn Brawler? My
yes.
God.
It was when his feud with Red Rooster.
Okay.
All right. Dave Hall.
Alive.
Escape the guillotine.
Still. Oh, gee.
Escape the guillotine. All right. You get a chance here, actually, to set yourself up for victory yourself if you can get two in a row correct. You'll have the opportunity here. First off, you need to tie. So pick a number, 1 to 188.
100.
Okay. All right. All right. To tie the match, which WWE Hall of Famer has the record for the most total days as Intercontinental Champion? You have 30 seconds.
Total days as Intercontinental Champion.
Yes. WWE Hall of Famer. 20 seconds.
Pedro Morales.
Hey, I may have a winner!
I was afraid you were going to change your answer when you paused that for a second.
I nearly went Pedro Morocco, and it's not Pedro Morales.
Now you're morphing matches together.
Yes.
All right. Well, Dave, nice job. You've tied the match at 2.
Yep.
Tension's building, JR.
This yes.
Incredible. The live audience is
on the edge of the couch.
Breathless with anticipation. All right. Dave, you have a chance to take the lead and set yourself up for victory yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This will get you to 3.
And then you can kick your leg out of your leg.
Out of your leg.
After you set yourself up for victory yourself.
All right. Pick a number between 1 and 187.
110.
Okay. To take the lead and set yourself up for winning the title yourself, who ripped up Steve Austin's petition on an episode of Raw in 2001? You have 30 seconds.
Kurt Angle.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
It was Spike Dudley.
And that was SmackDown, not Raw.
Was it too, yeah.
Was it SmackDown?
Yeah, it was SmackDown.
Sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. Dave, would that have affected your answer?
It might have.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, well.
Nah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to help.
We're willing to give you another one. I have no problem with it. I don't want any. I don't want Derek Cornette petitioning outside my house or picketing or something. So, it's okay. I'm more than willing to give you another one, Dave. It's okay.
Look, I got it wrong, guys.
Okay. All right. Just I don't want to say that we didn't throw out the opportunity.
No, I feel like maybe if he would have said, "Oh, I know," and you know, if he mentioned it, maybe. I know Dave. I have full faith. He probably would have said something if he thought we were wrong, right, okay. Dave?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
You sure? Before we
you
move
sure?
on, once, sure. we, once we move on, it's over. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right, Jay.
All righty.
This is your chance once again. You get this right, you are the tournament champion.
All righty.
Pick a number between 1 and 185.
I will go 139.
Okay. To win the tournament and the championship, here's your question.
Come on, baby.
Which two powerhouse wrestlers began teaming as Fire and Ice in WCW in 1996? You have 30 seconds.
Ice Train was one, and the other one I think was Scott Norton.
We have a winner!
Yes.
Of course, it had to be on the controversial. You could have gotten that one wrong, Hinchy. You got the next one right.
Yeah.
We now feel terrible. No, well, congratulations, Jay Hinchy. Well-earned victory. You both
Thank
had
you.
Many chances. So,
Thank you, Dave Hall.
Dave Hall, what a competitor. You hung in there. Hopefully, there's no hard feelings over that misstep there.
That's all right, guys. Congratulations, Jay.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Hell of a battle between you two. Dave, once again, congratulations. And I think maybe we'll seed you guys next year based on the results this year. So you'll be, yeah, you'll be a number, you'll be a two seed.
Yeah, maybe we'll give you guys byes in the first round. You yes. won't have to face this the 9-week three-way matchups.
Yes. So. Yeah. All right, Dave. Have a great rest of your Friday over there.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Congratulations,
bud.
Dave. You did a hell of a job.
Okay, see ya,
nice
man.
Job.
See ya.
Mr. Hinchy, congratulations.
Thank you, Justin.
And Jay, I have to give you credit because you gave Dave the opening yourself to allow him an extra question, and he declined. So everything's all fair and everything's clean. So there you go. Great job.
Yeah,
you a good roll, a good battle. You knocked out Greenhouse. You knocked out some tough competition. So
yep.
Congratulations. All right, JR, tell the man what he's won.
You have won a handshake. Congratulations. No, you've
won.
Yay!
You get to
you win a match against Ryback.
Yes. So.
All right.
You get to appear on a show with us. You're choosing. It could be a headlines. It could be a vault. You know, whatever you wish, or a throwback. The vaults, we already have a few guests lined up for various ones, so we'll talk off air here, and you can let us know if there's one in particular you're thinking of. And also, you'll win a DVD prize pack from our buddy Jay Wimette. We'll get that out to you. We'll have you peruse the site and pick a few DVDs out for your prize. So.
Alrighty, thank you, guys.
All right, bud, we'll be in touch. Congratulations.
All right, man. Bye.
Congrats, Jay. Great job.
All right, see you, Scott.
Jay Hinchy.
Wow.
Well, one of our earliest listeners. He was a fan early on, so
yes,
old school fan won this.
Fun tournament.
Yeah,
and kudos to Dave Hall. Dave did a hell of a job.
Yes,
he took the high road. I mean, yeah. I had no problem giving him another question, but
I mean, he didn't really pause. I don't know. It didn't seem to affect his answer. I don't think.
No,
I don't think
so.
That would have. I think he would have said something immediately because he didn't even challenge it. You know, Jay said it, so.
Yeah,
exactly. But Dave would have said something. We know Dave, yeah. So. All right, what a great tournament there, Scott. We are wrapped up, finally, after months, but it was worth it. It was a lot of fun.
I'm going to miss the pyramid music.
I know. We'll play it every now and then just for fun.
Okay.
I was glad we get to show off some of our hard questions there. I was afraid it would be like three and done, and we wouldn't get to show off our wares.
Yes. Yeah, we had some doozies there. I hope everybody enjoyed those. We'll have to we will replenish the easies and the mediums as we prepare for the 2013 tournament, which will start in about 3 days.
Yes. Well, I guess we'll do it this summer again, right? Maybe we'll start a little bit earlier next year.
Yeah, we'll
maybe we'll start
June.
In like June or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to think that we'll get more competitors, and maybe we can maybe
get
it
to 32 or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
I do think we should rank though. I think we should rank by. You know, we'll go back and listen by finish of the last eight, and then the guys that went out in the first round will rank it by how many they got right and stuff like that. So,
okay, well, I have the tally, so we can definitely do that.
Very good. All right, let's wrap things up, Scott. Hope everyone enjoyed the review of the 9/22/97 MSG Raw. Stay tuned later this week. We have our great interview with Kevin Kelly coming up Wednesday night. We're going to talk all things 1997, and then we have a couple more things planned for you as the weeks go on here throughout the rest of the 1997 year in wrestling. We have a lot of cool things planned.
Yes, we do. Yep. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. A lot of fun. So, okay. Let's wrap things up. That's Scott. I'm Justin. Congratulations once again to Jay Hinchy. This is the Place to Be podcast. We'll talk to you Wednesday night with Kevin Kelly.
No thunder down under.
Can't have the thunder if you don't have the lightning.